Blog Talk Radio.
Happy you have joined us for tonight's show. I need to first remind you that the opinions expressed on this show may or may not be endorsed by Trans Women National, TWN Radio, Prism Radio, or myself. Each individual owns their opinion on this show. Most Prism Radio shows are suitable for all ages, but it is recommended that listeners should be at least 16 years old. If you're listening live, you can call in at 914-205-5655. That number is at the top of the screen. But please be patient as it may take a few moments to get you connected. If you want to join our live Facebook chat, please go to facebook.com/PrismRadio. My name is Holly Knight, and I will be your host for Prism Radio. So let's get the show started. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this special production of Prism Radio. I got to tell you, what happened was I was just kind of scanning through Facebook and multitasking like I usually do, and most of the time I'm not paying attention to everything. Excuse me, everything real close, and I just kind of noticed this post from Lance Berkman, which is former. Baseball player. I think he was with the Houston Astros. I think he was with the Texas Rangers and the St. Louis Cardinals. One of my favorite players, actually, when he was a player. And, of course, I didn't know much about him. But I liked him as a player. And he played for teams I like. So I kind of noticed that. And then I noticed that what he was talking about. So it took me to a link of a video. And he was talking about Proposition 1 that is going on in Houston. And I'm not really wanting to talk politics necessarily, but clearly he was talking and trying to get Proposition 1, I'm not sure, passed or failed or something. I don't know who made the proposition or what's going on necessarily. But basically he's against transgender people using bathrooms of their as to how they present. So, started want to remind you, you can call at 914-205-5655. I'm going to play a audio of that video, and we're probably going to stop in the middle of it a couple times and kind of talk about a little bit here, but. So anyway, we're going to get started, and I'll see if this will work, and I'm going to give this a so we can hear what he had to say.
Vote no on Proposition 1. No men in women's bathrooms, no boys in girls' showers or locker rooms. I'm Lance Berkman.
Okay, so it's vote no, so it is a proposition, of course. If you vote yes, then you're in favor. No, you're not in favor. And, of course, what he says is no boys and girls' bathrooms, no men and women's bathroom. And as I said, although I have not read about the proposition, but it's typically about the same. And really, the reason that I'm picking Lance Berkman's topic here and talking about this is it is – probably what he is saying is what a lot of people from his perspective would say. And it's coming from a bunch of directions that people that are saying things that he's saying. First of all, it's coming from someone that probably has no concept of what trans is. It's coming from most likely a very conservative person. I do know that he is a professed Christian. So it's probably coming from some of his beliefs there. And I'm assuming, too, that in the city of Houston, they're trying to get people, and that's what they do. You know, they get these actors or these athletes and that speak against something as if because he was a really good first baseman. He knows what he's talking about. The only thing I'm guessing that he knows what he's talking about is how to be a good first baseman. So he talks about no boys in girls' bathroom and no men in women's bathroom. He actually is talking only about trans women, only about the M to F people. He doesn't say anything about girls in men's bathrooms or boys' in that regard. So I don't know if Proposition 1 talks about that. Again, I did not read that. I didn't really want to get into the political side of it. But again, I think this is an overview of what a lot of people say. And so we're going to continue here.
Vote no on Proposition 1. No men in women's bathrooms, no boys in girls' showers or locker rooms. I'm Lance Berkman. I played professional baseball for 15 years, but my family is more important.
I mean, I have four daughters, and the thought of them being in a public bathroom and having a man walk in there, which, I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows what the intent of that person might be? I mean, they truly might think they're a woman, which is a little strange to me. But they could be a child predator. They could be somebody that's in there who likes to look at women and just claims to be a woman. So I just feel like that this opens a can of worms that I'm not comfortable putting my family in the position to have this thing pass.
My wife and I have four daughters. Proposition 1, the bathroom ordinance, would allow troubled men to enter women's public bathrooms, showers, and locker rooms. This would violate their privacy and put them in harm's way.
Well, as a husband and a father, you feel like you're in a position of a protector over your family. And I would like to protect my girls from as many threats that are out there as I possibly can. And this is something that is pretty overt. I mean, you get into a situation where you have four girls and maybe two or three of them are going to a public bathroom, and obviously I'm not going to go in there with them. I mean, is there a guy in there that could potentially be a child predator? I don't know, and I don't want to have to worry about that if we're going to go down to the zoo, or I just want to be able to live life without having to have an extra thing to worry about when it comes to protecting my family. And so that's one reason that, yes, I am concerned about this. As a dad and as a husband, I don't want to put the women that I'm responsible for in any sort of an awkward position, and I feel like that this has the extreme potential to be able to do that.
This proposed ordinance says that it will stop discrimination, but in reality, it discriminates against people who believe, like me, that members of the opposite sex should not be forced to share restrooms or locker rooms.
I mean, it's crazy, and it just kind of makes me want to say, from a guy that I used to like to listen to, Earl Pitts, used to say, "Wake up, America!" And that's what I want to scream at people, because, I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, we have the potential for men going into a woman's bathroom. I mean, the very few people that this could even be slanted as being discriminating against, is it worth putting the majority of our population at risk, or potentially putting them at risk to appease a very small minority of the population? I don't think so. I think it's crazy, and it is unbelievable that we are even talking about this.
Join me to stop the violation of women's privacy and discrimination against women. Vote no on Proposition 1. No men in women's bathrooms, no boys in girls' showers or locker rooms.
My message to other fathers is to get out there and vote. I mean, we have to use the democratic process to try to rise up against this threat, and the only way that we can do that is to go and vote no against Proposition 1.
So, of course, if you're listening to this, but especially if you're trans, your skin is crawling. If you know someone, and most likely the people that are listening to this show are allies or are trans. And honestly, I really want to try to reach those that are particularly not in that and those two categories. So it is my hope, and I'm going to try to get that message out a little bit to those people. But I do appreciate you listening, of course. And if you don't mind, forward this to people that, at least on the topic of the bathroom, that and if it may help them. We're going to talk about a lot of the issues on the bathroom here and try to confront this. But as I've said many times, and I said in my little blurb talking about the show, that the bathroom issue is going to be and continues to be the battle. I don't think, generally speaking, I don't think anybody really has a trouble with a transgender person walking on a street But once in the bathroom, or and maybe they do have, and there's no doubt there are hidden agendas to this. There is some threat in the conservative mind, at least in some Christians' mind, that transgender people exist. There's some threat that we present. So he even used the word, I think there at the end, that is a threat, and of course talking about this danger before it happens and everything. So some of the things that he said, I've got a couple comments on a couple things, but he did say we must prevent this potential danger by closing women's restroom to men rather than waiting for a crime to happen. So one of the things is that, of course, if you've been involved in this conversation, there's never been, that anybody knows of, any documented case of a man wearing women's clothing and going into a bathroom and harming a female. So the question I have is that one of the questions is, what are they afraid of? So let's think about it a little bit. So the fear is that there is some danger. The women are in danger of a man going in that he calls a man, a trans woman, whatever variation that he has. So they talk about privacy being lost, and of course that's silly because there's other people in there. So it's not necessarily privacy. It's, I think the feeling is privacy against men seeing them. And so the issue is, so the first thing is that someone wants to like see something. And of course, if you've been into very many bathrooms, women's bathrooms, I've been into quite a few since I've transitioned. And over the years, I started a long time ago and presenting as a female and going to women's bathrooms and predominantly women's bathrooms in mainstream places. Now, I will say that if you go to gay bars, LGBT places, then a lot of times there's boys and girls together all the time anyway. But as far as mainstream, I have said many times, I have never seen a vagina in a women's bathroom. And it's, and I say it kind of funny, in a funny way, or trying to be funny, but I've never seen one. And I even joke about it a little bit. If someone wanted to try to see something other than a person, or other than a woman's clothing, because I don't know if people think about this, but most bathrooms physically are in a building that exist with other people outside of that door. It's not a port-a-john out in the country somewhere, or it's not even bathrooms now, like it are, used to be really dangerous to go to bathrooms that were at rest stops. Those places are very well maintained. They've got somebody walking around. It's people in and out and that type of thing. So the situation is not private per se anyway, but structurally, you walk into a women's bathroom, and it has stalls, it has doors, and that type of thing. So a woman will typically walk into a women's bathroom, and of course, women's bathrooms are more social, so there may be some conversation. And whereas a man will go directly to the stall, rarely say anything to another man, and definitely won't look left or right or anything like that while he's at the urinal, and sometimes wash his hands and then walk out. So it's a very antisocial situation. And it's because I think a lot of men don't want other men to think that they are checking them out or whatever. There's that paranoia that they have for that situation. So, of course, they're going to think that's what's going on in rooms where there are women, which is ridiculous. But anyway, so you walk in. Of course, there are no urinals at women's bathrooms on the wall. So a woman will get in if she typically will go into a stall, and it typically shuts the stall and lock it. Now, and again, the when you're sitting there, you can't really look and see anybody, and you can even try and to look around corners or whatever, and you can't see anybody or see anything. Other women are either in their stall or they're at the sink. And there may be some conversation there. And there's been some women's bathrooms that I've been into that was almost a lounge. They had a couch and a TV and things like that. But typically, they're going to be either in a stall, but kind of behind a closed door, and they come out dressed. They go in dressed. They pull their pants down and their underwear, and they do their business, but nobody sees that. Not one person sees that. They go wash their hands. They talk. They check their hair, their makeup, and maybe talk some more. And they leave. So the opportunity to see anything other than a woman in clothing is almost zero, if not zero. And I've not seen breasts. I've not seen vaginas. I've not seen nakedness. I've not seen any of that stuff. And I would say that most women, if you get any woman or any trans woman, to call it, it's rare. Now, you may at some places, again, you may at a gay bar see some of that stuff because it's a little bit more free-for-all at that point. But it just isn't going to happen. Now, locker rooms are a little bit different. And a locker room is a little bit open, but there are stalls. And typically, and I go to a club. I've been going to some clubs off and on over the years. And women typically are very shy anyway. They don't really want other women to see them naked or whatever. So a lot of women will come in and they may get a locker or whatever, and they'll go into either a bathroom stall or the shower stall or someplace designated to change. And they will change there and they put their stuff in their bag and then put it in the locker room. They come back. The showers are completely enclosed and you can't see anything there at that point either. So I've never seen nakedness or anything like that at a shower, women's shower. Now, men's shower, guys walk around nude all the time, like, and it's crazy. It's like this exhibition type thing, and maybe with a towel on. But there, you do see naked men a lot in a men's locker room, but you don't see skin of any kind, like you don't see breasts or any genitalia in women's restrooms. So if someone's going to enter to see something, that's not going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. If someone goes in there, so the other opportunity would be, or the other thing possibly that these people are thinking is someone wants to go in there to touch, let's say. And, of course, that I don't see the opportunity isn't very good there either. And you got to remember, in all the other possible scenarios, it's a situation where there are almost always people everywhere, outside the bathroom or inside the restroom. So the odds of doing anything and getting away with it is pretty slim anyway from that. So I don't know what they're thinking that is going to happen. And it just not very much is going to happen at that point. So anyway, we're talking about Lance Berkman's comment on this video and trying to get this Proposition 1 to pass, and I think he said to say no on that. So the other thing he says, is that he said the proposition would allow troubled men to enter women's public bathrooms, showers, and locker rooms. This would violate their privacy and put them in harm's way. He said this is just wrong. So obviously troubled men. So I was going to say a little bit later, and I may say it again. The reality is that this is coming from somebody that feels that these men being troubled men, and I think he's talking about us as trans people, is that there's something wrong with us, and we're perverts. We're the prey. We are the perverts, I guess, is basically what he's coming from at that point. So I think. He says, we must prevent this potential danger by closing women's restroom to men rather than waiting for a crime to happen. So let me say something about that, some things to consider. So, for example, like this potential crime. So we know that there's not been any crimes, not any documented situation where a trans woman has harmed a cis woman in a bathroom. So that's zero. So let's say if you take that whole thing and maybe you think of it another way. Let's say to stop potential crime is on something that hasn't happened. So let's say the intent is protecting their children from all possible harm. Then what about, let's say, allowing your children going to a Catholic church, for example? The potential harm there, as we all know, is I'm sure the percentages are low, and there's a lot of amazing priests, but there has been documented cases where priests have sexually harmed, we'll say, children more than many more times than a trans person has harmed anybody in a bathroom. So if that's the case, then you can't let your children or your women, your female children, your girls, go to a Catholic church. And, or they've done that to boys a lot of times, if not most. So if you want to talk about the ratio, sexually assaulted women in Catholic churches versus trans people, that's like a lot to zero. So what about even, and I don't want to say this because I'm a teacher, a former teacher and things, and there's there's so many amazing teachers, but there are children that are harmed by teachers. There's children harmed by coaches. There's children that are harmed by a lot of people. And we aren't going to stop sending them to school. We're not going to stop sending them to the teams or to scouts or any of those type of things where there are documented cases after cases of children being sexually harmed. So why is it the trans a little bit? And again, especially since there's no documentation on that. So maybe you can just have them all homeschooled. Well, wait a minute, there's probably parents that have done that. So then parents, we had to take children away from parents because we the potential harm there. So I think you kind of get where I'm going from here. What about, and the other thing too is that, what about the trans women that are, we're going to say passing, and I know that people don't like that word necessarily, but you know what I'm saying. The trans woman that looks like a trans woman, but also is attractive. If she is attractive and feminine, she looks like a woman and she goes into a men's bathroom. The danger there is pretty bad, because what happens is, as anybody that is trans that's been around this know, is if you don't tell a straight man you're trans, let's say at a bar or whatever, then a lot of times they retaliate and they beat you, they hurt you, they come after you, they verbally attack you. And this year I think we've already had 17 murders of trans people, and typically that's trans women and typically trans women of color. A lot of times it's trans women that pass pretty good, that look like women, and they didn't know, and so men typically will lash out physically to prove how masculine they are and to prove how straight they are by harming the person, like the trans person. So you walk into a bathroom and you're a trans woman and you're attractive, then there's all kinds of possibilities there. So who is going to be the harm? I mean, what's going to happen there? That's the harm is going to be. So it's basically 17 murders to zero of what trans women have done to cisgender women. And, of course, most of the time it's been men murdering trans women. So the risk truly in that situation is for the trans women. And I don't have my notes, but I do remember, like, the suicide is that trans people typically commit suicide a lot of times because they're not accepted. They can't exist as the person that they identify. And they get treated very, very horribly from the Christian people and their family and everything. I wonder sometimes on this is that, so if you put in a situation where you're not being accepted and you can't go to the bathroom, you can't go to work, you can't live, your family throws you out of home and stuff, and there's these suicides. But how many suicides have happened because a woman happened to be in a bathroom with a trans person? I don't think we know that. I don't think that there has been any. I'm pretty sure there hasn't been any. It doesn't mentally scar them for their life. It just happens, and most are fine with it. In fact, it would be interesting to talk to women more than hearing these homophobic, transphobic men talk about this. So we're going to take a little bit of break, and we got a couple more things, and make sure you know that you can call in, and I'll be right back. Hey there, did you know you could call in live to ask questions or even make comments at 914-205-5655. When you call, please be patient, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. You will be able to listen to the show live as you wait. The number is 914-205-5655. The number is also on the Blog Talk Radio page where you are currently listening live. You can also participate in a live chat on our Trans Women National Facebook page. The link is available on the Blog Talk Radio page or our website. Thank you, and back to the show. Okay, welcome back. This is Holly Knight, and we are with Prism Radio. Tonight's show is the poop on the bathroom tea issue. And I got a kick out of it. I thought I was pretty cute and, you know, patting myself on the back here. But the poop, of course, on the bathroom tea issue. But if you put tea and issue together, you get tissue. So, again, I had to, like, brag about it a little bit. Anyway, I thought that was kind of cute. But so one of the things, too, is want to make a point here is, again, we're talking about trans people, trans women going to into women's restrooms, is that most, and I'm just going to say most, but most trans women that have started transitioning or has transitioned have started hormones. And a lot of people don't know this. I think a lot of people that are not around the trans community think, well, it's only to get boobs or to get something physically. But it does have a tendency to do some things to your sex drive where it usually decreases that some to some people significantly. And to other people, at least some. Now, not all, and not all will stay on the hormones or whatever for various reasons. But it does for most. And the other thing it will have a tendency to do is make the genitalia not as functioning. Again, there's degrees of that, but it will affect the functionality of that. So again, as far as trans women going into bathrooms, if they are even interested in doing any kind of sexual thing or getting turned on per se because of seeing women in clothing at the bathroom, it's pretty silly to even say. But the potential of that because of hormones is going to be pretty, pretty low. And of course, there are trans women that are not on hormones and that exist a lot of their life as male and present sometimes as female, that type of thing. But again, the opportunities are just not real good. So so thinking about this show before I started, before it came on, I was just kind of trying to think about coming from, like, if we were going to talk about somebody that had, basically this is a fear that Mr. Berkman is saying, a fear about something that's going to happen or he's afraid is going to happen without any possible documentation of it ever happening. So my confusion I get in this situation is, why would anybody ever think that? What is the attack? So clearly there's a hidden agenda because there's nothing clear about. Now, if it was happening all the time, okay, I would get that necessarily. And maybe it may happen once or twice in the next 30 years or something, but that's going to be rare. As long as trans women have been going to bathrooms and as many has been going on and stuff. So, but he's attacking right now. That's not happened, and he knows it's not happening based on what he's saying. So it's really about something else. There's something hidden there. And, of course, it's probably political. And or it's probably biased and things like that. So I started thinking about it. There's a couple of terms that is used for people that have unrealistic fears or unjustified fears. The first one, of course, we all know is phobia. Now, we use phobia a lot in our communities and kind of loosely a little bit. But basically, a phobia is a persistent, irrational, intense fear of a specific object, activity, or situation, which is called the phobic stimulus, fear that is recognized as being excessive or unreasonable by the individual himself. When a phobia is a significant source of distress or interferes with social functioning, it is considered a mental disorder, sometimes called a phobic disorder. Some typical phobias are like acrophobia and fear of lightning and different things like that. So basically, but it says when a phobia is a significant source of distress or interferes with social functioning, when you see these people and everything, it affects their ability to function socially if they can't go. Like I've seen some posts like, I'm not going to go to bathrooms in Houston. That affects them. There's this phobia. It's so strong that it's going to affect a lot of things what they do. So clearly that's a phobia, and it's even possibly a disorder if it gets to a certain level. And you're talking about getting on national TV and talking about something you don't have a clue about, and talking about something you are afraid that's going to happen that's never happened. That's a pretty significant, intense fear of something that is unrecognized as being possible danger. So the other one would be, another word would be paranoia. We all are familiar with that. But as paranoia is an unfounded or exaggerated distrust of others, sometimes reaching delusional proportion. Paranoid individuals consistently suspect the motives of those around them and believe that certain individuals or people in general are out to get them. Paranoia, I've got these are psychology terms and everything. So so you got the phobic disorder potential. And if you were going to, if Lance was going to talk about anything else necessarily, let's say about lightning, I guess, which lightning has killed people. He's in Texas and he's worried about earthquakes. And let's say, I'm sure there's been earthquakes there, but he's to the point where he's trying to, he is scared to death of earthquakes. That gets to be a point where that is a little clinical and would be considered maybe he needs some help. And people that are talking about this type of stuff is clearly there's some need for that. And the question, and he uses the word troubled man. Who is the troubled man in this situation? So, again, what we're talking about is clearly, though, I think the bottom line gets to be is that he sees as the predator is the people that are going to be on the attack. And I can't help to think, where would even somebody come up with that? What reason would somebody come up with something that's never happened? And honestly, it keeps taking me back to like movies and some TV shows, but where the bad guy got dressed up as a woman to harm somebody. And from, what was it, Psycho, the movie, and all kinds of situations like that hasn't happened, but it has happened some mind of the writers. And these people kind of have adopted that kind of thinking. All right, so let's say that Mr. Berkman gets this passed, or they do say no, and they're going to say that a trans person cannot use a bathroom. So let's get more specific. Let's say a trans woman cannot go to a bathroom in Houston or anywhere. We're talking about Houston. Let's say a trans woman cannot use a bathroom in Houston that is designated for women. So let's talk about, like, how would that happen? How would they go about enforcing that? So would they have, like, police at the door that would be responsible for making sure that didn't happen? And I guess those police would be the responsible people to determine visually if that person is transgender or not. And let's say they think the person is transgender. What would they do? Would they ask them? And let's say the person would answer no. Would they say, well, yes, you are? And then would that create the need for some documentation of whatever laws that you would say? Do you have to be birth sex male to be transgender? Or what about if you've had hormones, or if you're legally, if you got an ID, if your driver's license? Okay, let's say your driver's license says male or does not have the name changed, would they take your driver's license? Would they get to the point where they would have to check genitalia? So you have to pull your pants down before you go in to the bathroom. And the other thing is going to happen is, what about, and this may come across a little derogatory, and I want to make sure, but I have friends that are lesbian, that are somewhat butch lesbian, and have told me personally on multiple occasions that they have gone into women's bathrooms and people have thought they were male. So what about some of these people going and they say, well, we think you're a male. Well, I don't have my ID with me, and you're going to have to pull your pants down and that type of thing. Of course, you got post-op transsexual women. So at what point, how do they determine and how will they police these things? It would be basically impossible. Some people are talking about if it's based on DNA, what your DNA is. And, of course, there's more than just male and female DNA, but they would have some – how would you – there would be – would everybody have to get a DNA test? It's, at some point, there are going to be some people that that would – they wouldn't know at all. And would that become illegal? Would they get arrested by going there? And let's say after the fact – and I don't know what profiling is, but isn't that a little bit like profiling also, based on what you think is the case? So the logistics of actually fulfilling a law like this is really pretty much impossible. Needless to say, is forever a predator, a man that wants to harm a female, and she is by herself in a bathroom, the doors are not going to stop him, and that's just going to happen whether you have that law or not. And it has nothing to do with what he's wearing or how he identifies. So one of the things too is to I think clearly the attitude is from Mr. Berkman and people like that think that this is like something we can choose. So I guess what they're hoping is that if you say you cannot use a bathroom, then that means we would just disappear. And of course, trans people, not by that name, there's been the Two-Spirit, the Native Americans, if you want to even use the word eunuch in biblical times and everything, there's been people with that are not male or female or whatever, however you want to phrase that, since beginning of time for the most part. And we're not going away. We're getting stronger. We can walk everywhere. We can do everything in a lot of cities these days. But the bathroom, we're just not going to go away. So I wanted this thing, and there's a phrase that somebody gave me one time at work as this trans woman was transitioning. And they've been really, really good at every aspect of the transitioning from what I understand. But the one thing is the bathroom. And then they found out this trans woman was attracted to women. And they used the phrase, so you're still attracted to women, which is I find very interesting, is that that even is a conversation. It should not ever have been a conversation, shouldn't be a conversation, should never be a conversation. And it wouldn't be allowed in any other situation other than that. Because it continues to be perceived as a sexual thing, whether it's a sexual thing as that you're attracted to men or a sexual thing that there's some deviation, a deviant behavior involved. Continues to be. It's idiotic. It is completely idiotic and has to get out of there. And in fact, if somebody would ask me that question, I would have a real hard time not getting mad. But anyway, the question is, so you're still attracted to women. In my mind, I'm thinking, have you ever heard of the word lesbian? Like, do you say that, well, we got a problem with you as a trans woman going into the bathroom because you're attracted to women. But we don't have problems with women going into the bathroom that are attracted to women. So it's basically still going back to the deviant behavior of men or the deviant behavior of trans women. People that are born women, or excuse me, born male. It's really, 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 really sad. So Lance Berkman had a couple other things to say. I want to kind of bring these up, and I think he's the one that said it. So he says gender identity is not a legitimate issue. All that really matters is that liberals have found yet another way to play God on earth while going against everything Christians believe because Obama and other celebrities said it's cool. A completely ridiculous statement in all regards. And, of course, it's this misunderstanding, and it's clearly there's underlying thing is that the whole transgender thing is a strategy that we are actually performing to undermine the conservative way of life. And, of course, that's not true. And it just is our identity, and just we exist, and we're just trying to exist in our own world and just be able to go potty. That's all we want to do. It doesn't have to be that you're making a bigger deal out of it than what it is. Another statement is that we've seen cases in the past where men have felt discriminated against because they couldn't use female restrooms or locker rooms. And it's the most laughable argument one could ever hope to make. I don't know. That was probably some comment from something else. But it said, if you're born a girl, you use the women's facility and vice versa. Again, it's clearly ignorance because there are people, and it depends on what you're talking about. What is being born a girl? What is being born a boy? There's no doubt, 100% of the chance, 100% no doubt, that transgender people at this point have given us as a human being the knowledge that there are things that are different than male and female, boy and girl. There's both, there's in between, there's none, there's all these variations, just like human beings are, just like diversity is, just like human nature is. There's all these variations, and it's a wonderful thing, and it's a God-given thing, and that some of these people just can't see. So this isn't an issue of feeling discriminated against. It's one for gays to say, we're here, we're queer, and we're bucking the trend just for the heck of it. Again, I don't know where these are some quotes from, I think from Lance Berkman, but that's a ridiculous statement for all kinds of reasons, for the heck of it. Says, this is a matter of safety, and I wouldn't feel safe with someone of opposite sex using the same changing room as my family, female family members, and neither should you. So, the safe part we've already talked about. He did say you can't have just a couple of surgeries, receive a few hormone shots, put on a wig, and call yourself a woman. That's not how it works. And he talks about some other things about rebuking God and everything. But, it isn't really how it works. I agree, because you don't become a woman by having surgery. You don't become a woman by having hormone shots. You are a woman because that's how you identify. And you are just doing the surgeries to fit your identification. So it's kind of reversed there, Mr. Berkman. So that was on BeliefNet, some quotes, or this is from BeliefNet, some quotes that Lance was on there, and I found. Because I was thinking he was a Christian, and I remember hearing some things. And again, I've said this on the show. I am a Christian. I identify as a Christian. So I wanted to see if that's the case. This is a quote from the from this website, BeliefNet. So the key to dealing with people in general, this is not about trans stuff. This is his faith, and they were asking him questions about his role as a Christian, as a Major League Baseball player. So the key to dealing with people in general is that they have to know that you care about them. You have to deal with people in gentleness. You have to come alongside of them. You can't push them. You can't pull them. You have to walk with them. In order to do that, you've got to demonstrate care for that individual. That's my whole thing. I want my teammates to know that I care about them personally. I care about what happens to them on and off the field. When you're in that position, you earn the right to speak into their lives. I try to let guys know that I do care about them, and consequently, I think they'll listen to me when I have something to say. One thing I do enjoy as a guy who's been around for a while, I see these younger guys coming up and always like to help them if I can and give them advice. It's difficult how, having been through it, I can reach out to those young guys and make sure that everything is good with them. And again, that's his talking about his leadership and his faith that was in this interview on this online. But I found it interesting. He says you can't push them or pull them. You have to walk with them. In order to do that, you've got to demonstrate care for the individual. That's his whole thing. And basically, then he says, when you are in that position, you earn the right to speak into their lives. So, and I've heard this quote recently by someone, and I really, really like it. And it probably wasn't that person's quote. It probably from somebody else. But it's really a good way to look at it. And I don't remember who said it, but that person said it a couple times. Because I remember hearing it a couple times. But anyway, said something like, I really can't judge anybody until I've experienced what that person has experienced. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. But I guess the gall or the ignorance or the presumptuous attitude is for someone like Lance Berkman to clearly attempt to talk about something and to, he says, and to walk without walking with him, as he said. You can't push them. You can't pull them. If you put this in a perspective of how he's dealing with transgender people, is that you have to know that you care about them. That's not caring. You have to deal with people in gentleness. That's not gentle. In this interview, if you see the interview verbally, there is a strong condescending way. And he says, I don't get that, and things like that. Well, try to get it first before you talk about something. There had to be at one time people said, well, I don't want Down syndrome people around my children because I think that they'll catch that. And it's a disease that they'll catch. I know that that happened. And they probably said something before they knew anything. It's the HIV thing. There's all these fears. You can't do this. You can't do that because somebody will get HIV just by being within touching distance. And it's ignorant and it's harmful. And it's basically the same way. He goes, you have to walk with them and care. That's his whole thing. My teammates know that I care about them personally. At this point, of course, he doesn't have teammates. He's not playing at this point. So, but when he said he was in that position, you have to earn a right to speak in their lives. He has not earned a right to speak in our lives. Not at all. And to be involved in that. And actually, I don't think he's earned a right to speak for anybody's lives other than first baseman for the Houston Astros. Anyway, so I was just looking at the I probably should have finished it. I thought that was pretty good, but the fact they're very let's see, I got all my notes here. Phobia, paranoia, there was other stuff that I had, but I think that covers most of it. So if you are using this, if you are struggling with a situation in the bathroom, there are people that can help. There's a situation that can help. I belong to an organization called Trans Women National, and we have contacts with attorneys and contact with people that understand what's going on, especially in cities that are protected. But don't assume first that you don't have rights, because you do. And if you are not sure about it, let us know, and we can get you connected to people that can help you in your city, your town, or what's going on. There is a lot of pain out there. There's a lot of frustration out there, and there's a lot of confusion out there. But I will say before I get off here is that, and I'm going to contradict myself a little bit, but don't listen to these Berkmans of the world. I think that's a minority, and they're just opportunities for sometimes for these people to get their 5 minutes of fame or whatever that saying is. And of course, he's had plenty of fame, but as far as this opportunity to say something is, if you go and scrolling through Facebook, for every one negative Berkman comment, there are 20 positive things. Things are really, really much, much better. We are here to stay. And these things, it may delay, it may slow down Houston, the trans people of Houston. I'm sad for that. But it'll happen, and hopefully this this Proposition 1 will pass. But it is getting better. Don't get discouraged. Don't get frustrated. Don't get down. And think positive. Don't think the negative, and avoid reading the comments. So so anyway, that's it for this evening. I think I just wanted to kind of talk about this a little bit. Feel free to send messages or an email to me. I'm at Holly Ann Knight, transwomen@gmail.com. You can get this information on the Trans Women National website. That link is on the page for this radio show. More about TWN Radio is there's a link there, and that's got information about Prism Radio and about Journeys with Julie, which her first show is, I believe it's the 5th of October. And I've got a show tomorrow night. Again, this was a special preview or a special show, but I do have a special show a regular show tomorrow. Is that's about I think I'm going to do somewhat of a regular series of people helping people. So before I get off here again, just make sure that tomorrow's show is every Monday at 8 o'clock. Julie and I are rotating. She has the first and third Monday. I have the second and fourth Monday. If it's a fifth, then the both of us will do a co-host for a show. And transwomennational.org, again, that website on there, check it out. There's some information on there that may be able to help what you may be going through. So with that, I want to close for the evening. Thank you. If you got any questions or any issues on the bathroom stuff, just let me know and we can get you directed to the right place. Thank you, and have a good evening.
It's been a long road getting from there to